Hi, my name is Maya. I would fuck Andrew Garfield. Am I allowed to say that?
When I told you I didn't have an idea for the intro.
That's what I'm going with. Okay. And I edit this bitch.
Okay. Hi, my name is Sydney.
Would you fuck Andrew Garfield?
I can't say that I...
Wouldn't?
I wouldn't... Yes.
Would you fuck Andrew Garfield over Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
Okay. Over Tom Holland?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There wasn't even, like... You seem to struggle more with the Tobey Maguire aspect of that than the Tom Holland one.
Because I have a deeper soul connection with Tobey Maguire. But at the end of the day...
That's fair.
He's Bully Maguire.
Real. I was listening to... Fuck, I can't remember the title of that song. It's really long. The one where he does the dancing montage in three.
Oh, yeah.
It's on my playlist, and it's like a 9.5 minute long song.
Oh.
It's just, he literally says the same words over and over, and it's like the same riff over and over. And
I love him.
I feel great. Anytime, you know, it comes on, I'm like, yeah.
It's your bop and groove song.
Yeah.
You're not surprised that he's doing those fun little dance moves.
I know. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Spider-Man 3, you're just like, you know what? I also want to do those cringy ass dance moves down the street of New York City.
I feel like everyone knows what it is. Like, it's not cringe anymore. It's...
No.
It's camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is canonically incorrect. Mm-hmm. And today, we're talking about Spider-Man.
Surprise!
It shouldn't be a surprise.
It's all we've been talking about for the past month. Shocker, I know.
We are doing sort of a double trouble, toil and bubble bonus thing with Spider-Man, where we have our Patreon joint episode, Spider-Man, and then our June bonus episode, Spider-Man. So, if you would like to listen to hear us more talk about Spider-Man, specifically the movies, all of the movies that have come out.
Right.
Join us at Patreon. Patreon.com/chronically incorrect.
We ranked all of the ones that are out right now, not the last of the next trilogy. And I think they announced that Tom Holland's doing a number 4.
Yeah, he is.
So just the ones that are out right now, mm-hmm. and none of like the animated stuff that isn't into and across the Spider-Verse. None of like the TV shows or anything like that. Just the main...
Nothing...
The Maguire, the Garfield, the Holland...
Nothing
and
before the year 2001.
And nothing before that needs to be talked about or mentioned by name. It's fine.
It's fine. But today we're treating fan fiction. We're doing another fun little one-shot.
Yippee.
Because it's all... Really, like, it's all... I feel like it's been on your brain more than it's been on mine. Like, it's just a...
I know. It's finally, like... I go through these phases, especially... since working on the podcast, of like when I actually read fan fiction for myself, and after seeing Across the Spider-Verse, it was an instant I need to get on Tumblr, need to check it out real fast. So yeah, my nightly hobby has returned.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm like, I check it every once in a while. And the thing about Tumblr, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, it's great for just like quick the thing is like, the lengths on Tumblr are usually not very long. AO3 is the home base for, like...
100,000 and more.
But even then, like, one-shots are way longer on AO3 than they are on Tumblr.
Because
the one-shot that I had read today, I think, is less than 2,000 words.
Oh,
whereas, like, anything that I would have looked on AO3 is, like, 30,000 words minimum.
I mean, I also went and looked for specifically Spider-Verse fan fiction. And I feel like at the lowest I saw was... like 1,000, and then like the one I chose is 7,000.
Right.
But I did see the 30,000, and those feel like you wrote like a multi-chapter thing and just decided to put it all out as one.
Well, even then, sometimes it's just like, I've definitely had that where I'm writing a one shot and I'm like, oh, but it needs a little more context.
Yeah.
Oh, but I feel like it needs a little more sustenance. And you just kind of keep writing and writing and writing. So instead of being like, I'm going to post it in chapters, just being like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Here you go. The whole thing.
And like, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I love those just as much as like my little 1.5K ones.
But yeah.
But Tumblr is just like speed rounds
for
of just like getting my little bursts of adrenaline and dopamine.
No, Tumblr is really good, especially for like the nightly one, because the last time I ever did like a nightly Tumblr binge was when Age of Ultron came out, and I was heavy and hot on the Quicksilver Pietro Maximoff X-Reader kind of stuff.
The thing is like Jujutsu Kaisen season 2. It's on the horizon.
And then she's back in her coach.
It's literally, I know, it's at a week and a half. So I'm waiting, whereas Miguel O'Hara has been keeping me company until then. So
you and many others.
What can I say? I'm a whore.
Yeah. Okay, so Miguel O'Hara over Andrew Garfield? Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
Okay, well, here's the difference. For one, we're being, like, the actor.
Sure.
Or, like, this animated fictional person. If we were to be, like, Andrew Garfield or Oscar Isaac,
uh-huh.
That's a completely different question.
Okay, so then that's the question.
Or are you asking Peter Parker or
I guess
Miguel
I'm asking
O'Hara?
Both of, okay. Like...
But if it comes to Andrew Garfield and Oscar Isaac, it's going to have to be Oscar Isaac.
Okay.
But if it comes to Peter Parker versus Miguel O'Hara, I feel like it has to be Peter Parker.
Got it.
Because sometimes I see the frames of Miguel O'Hara that are drawn and his, like, cheekbones are, like, way, like, way too, like, sharp. And it's like, oh my god. You don't look like a
intense,
person.
A little intense. Yeah. A little intimidating, for sure.
A little bit. And some people like that. Don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. It's definitely a part of who he is. Yeah. And I get it. But if you're asking me to, like, Garfield versus Isaac.
It's Isaac.
It's Oscar Isaac. Even that clip of him reading that script with she plays Aunt May in the Holland ones.
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. You've seen that?
No.
It was I'm so sorry. I have to look something up really quick.
I could rip off your tits with my teeth. Get on your knees, honey. Let me taste you.
Anyways, if anyone doesn't know about the Oscar Isaac and Marissa Tomei,
They
read a script and it's like over a Zoom call. They both say wild shit and, and they're reading from a script. Like, that. Let's clarify.
I don't know, that uterus comment. That's from a script? Like,
dude, okay, plays are much wilder than, like, musicals.
I get.
So, yeah, Oscar Isaac.
Okay.
I love Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Would smash at any given opportunity. But if there was an offer from Garfield versus Oscar Isaac, even then, I would pick Oscar Isaac over Pedro Pascal.
Oh my god.
I've been in love with Oscar Isaac for a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, I used to read fanfiction of him as Poe Dameron when the new...
Oh, that's right. You
Yeah,
yeah
when
you
the
did.
New Star Wars trilogy came out. So, I've had... He's had a special place in my heart for a really long time.
What was your first initial, like, thought when you watched Into the Spider-Verse in that very end credit when they, like, teased Miguel O'Hara?
Well, the thing is, at the time, we didn't know that there was going to be a second one. So, I just thought it was, like, a funny ha-ha. And I was like, oh, that's cool that he's in it. And then they announced a second one and they're like, oh, Oscar Isaac. And I was like, huh? He does what? Because, like, he doesn't, like, voice in a lot of things. And even when I was watching the movie, I was like, he's a pretty good voice actor.
Yeah.
Sometimes actors to voice actors, it doesn't translate very well. And they don't do as good of a job. Because voice acting is completely different. And lots of people don't know that. But I think he did a very good job.
Sure.
So, I know why it works.
Fed into the brain.
Oh, 100%.
You're like, 100%. And we're not even talking about, like, the actual character design of Miguel O'Hara.
No, not at all. Not the fat ass. Not the, you know, none of that.
Not his, like, costume in which, like, he's not wearing an ounce of clothing underneath that costume, you know?
Oh, just, no.
It's digital.
The nano's, like, undoing. It's like, dude, your dick can just fly out at any moment. Give it to me. I don't care.
Who want to go first?
I mean, I can go first. This is a trope that you like, and I know that you like, so I looked up Miguel O'Hara for quite a while, and then I was like, you know, I'm going to switch to just the plain old Spider-Man tech. And there was still plenty of Miguel O'Hara, but the one that I brought today is a Peter Parker ex-reader. There is no specifications as to which exact Peter Parker. Okay. There's nothing in the tags like, this is the Amazing Spider-Man, or this is Tom Holland's, this is MCU Spider-Man, or this is Maguire's Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Like, no specification, just Peter Parker.
Okay.
It is by Dwindling Haze. It's called Back at You. It is a 5-in-1.
Ooh, I love a 5-in-1.
I told you. I told you.
I was, like, this close to also doing a 5-in-1.
Yeah. It works really well with Spider-Man. Yeah. I've seen so many 5-in-1 Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
And I do really like all of them.
I just really enjoy a 5-in-1. I don't know where the idea came from. One of these days, I'm going to have to look it up because I just love the trope of 5-in-1.
Right.
I feel like nobody really talks about it. Like, it's one of those tropes that's, like, prolific enough, but, like, Not too many people do.
Right.
I don't know when the peak was, but there was definitely a peak of 5-in-1. Like, maybe 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
And I love them. I think they're so good.
The tags are angst, hurt, comfort, fluffy ending.
Okay.
Those are the three.
Right.
And then the summary is the five times Peter stood you up and the one time you did it back.
Damn.
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 Damn. So the way that it's structured is like any other 5-in-1, mm-hmm. and it gives you like number one,
yeah.
and then like a
chunk of text,
a text, and then the, you know, all the paragraphs, the actual reading, and then it's like number two, this. So the mm-hmm. way that this person has done it is number one, Empire State Building. Okay. And then it goes through like the little situation,
the places that he stood you up at.
Right. But it's also like for the Empire State Building one, it's like, hey, you know, you both talk about how much you kind of miss hanging out with each other. So he goes, oh, I'm going to take you to the Empire State Building.
Got it.
We haven't been on a real date in a long time. Mm-hmm. So I really want to take you. Da, 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 da. And you're like, okay, except I'm not okay with like swinging around the city. So like, I'll just meet you there mm-hmm. at this time. And he goes, great. Gives me plenty of time to like go look nice. Da, 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 da. So you get all, you know, nice and pretty.
Yep.
Go up to the Empire State Building. And you're there for about an hour past your meeting time, and you're
Damn.
Like, I don't think he's showing up. Yeah. So, you know, you start walking home, and then you start getting texts and stuff that he's like, oh, somewhat like there's a robbery on the subway, and like I had to help, yeah. you know, stuff like that. Da, 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 da. I'm so sorry. Let me make it up to you. So on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like, he's Spider-Man.
Yeah,
he's got to protect this. He's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Do you think realistically you could date a superhero with all the things that come with it? Because it is not like you can get mad at someone that, like, oh, you had to save a bunch of lives.
Right.
But there has to be that, like, constant canceling, always being stood up, like, kind of maybe feeling like a second priority all
right.
the time.
I think it really depends on the level of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to the idea at all. And not that it would ever realistically happen.
I was just like, yeah.
But yes.
You're like, I'm not opposed if it ever came up.
Any weird tech companies that are developing superhumans, just hit me up. No, it's just the level of communication. Like,
sure.
That is my number one pet peeve. And you know, in my personal mm-hmm. life, this is something that I'm, like, big time struggling with, is people just not communicating with me.
Yeah.
Period. So if they are able to at least communicate in a timely manner mm-hmm. what has happened, I feel like it would be okay.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just, like, definitively having a day and a time where you won't let anything at all distract you.
Sure.
Because, like, I get both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like,
you gotta be the most patient little saint imaginable,
right.
kind of.
And that's, like, a lot of work. Ha ha, hee hee. So, the second time is when he apologizes
mm-hmm.
and says, let me take you out for ice cream.
Okay.
Make up for it. You know, we'll go on a cute little date, walk around, get some ice cream. And sure enough, as you're starting to walk around, his spidey sense goes off. And he's like, I really gotta go. I really have to go. And you're like, okay. Before you can even get ice cream, he has to leave. And you watch him swing off into the distance. Number three is when he invites you over to his house to watch a Star Wars marathon.
Mm.
He originally said that he was going to meet you at your place, walk you over to his, and then you guys were going to have a Star Wars marathon.
Mm-hmm.
All in one afternoon. An hour past the meeting time of when he was supposed to pick you up, you go, okay, maybe he slept in. Maybe he's tired. He's been doing a lot lately. I'm just going to walk over and, like, see what's going on. Aunt May opens the door, is like, hi, lovely, how are you? Where's Peter? I thought he was coming with you. So you make up a lie off the top of your head, and you're just like, eh. Oh, yeah, he told me to come over a little early. He got caught up on one of the trains, da 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 da. And she's like, okay, just, like, go up into his room. I'm sure it'll be fine. You lay in his bed and just stare at the ceiling. Hours go by.
This reader's a better person than I. It would have been, like, tears start ripping a room apart.
It starts getting, like, to that point where you just get frustrated. But, like, you're so tired of it all that it's just, like...
Yeah. Because it doesn't say, like, because it's a 5-in-1, it's just back-to-back situations. So it doesn't say, like, this happens kind of back-to-back. Like, he's canceling every single time in a row. Or, like, if these are happening months apart from each other. Do you know?
Right. The only things that are continuity-wise are the first and the second, and then the fifth and the one.
Okay.
So the first and the second, the Empire State Building and the ice cream, were, like, 2 days apart.
Okay.
And that's the only mention of, like, time. And then sure. The fifth and the one are, like, within a week apart.
Okay.
So the other ones
are, like, two, who three, knows four, how it's long, like, I how much time no has idea. Passed.
Right. Or three and four, it's like, I don't know. They seem to be doing okay, though, I guess.
I guess. But at the same time, you're just sitting there, like, watching the fan. Like, you're just, right. Like,
that's exactly what's going on. And then finally, Peter comes through the window, you know, all busted up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm so sorry, you know, apologizing, pleading, like, very, very much sorry. Like, it's very apparent in his tone right. And in his face and everything. And you silently get up and you start helping him clean up himself. And then after you're done, you just leave. You just straight up leave the apartment. And Aunt May's like, don't you want food or anything? And you're like, no, I'm okay. And she, Aunt May is like, well, at least let Peter walk you home. And you're like, no, it's fine. And you just leave.
Probably something I would do, but I think I would have left earlier. Like, I think just like, I gotta be honest with you, like, out of self-preservation wise, if hours pass, I'm just gonna be like, you know what?
Yeah, but it's also to be like, for the sake of Aunt May and keeping that secret.
Yeah.
That's like one of the only reasons I can think to stay for that long, to be like, I'm gonna act like we're hanging out. Yeah. Or like something's happened, or like, you know, I'm waiting sure. for him, whatever, because she still doesn't know, she's unaware,
right?
And that's a point in this fic where it's mm-hmm. just like, Aunt May has no idea,
mm-hmm.
doesn't know that he's right. like a super person or anything mm-hmm. like that. So number four, mm-hmm. the science laboratory. Peter calls you every day after that, pretty consistently. He feels horrible. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you ever to worry like that. And he tells you that he really, really wants to take you, like, absolutely this time wants to take you out on a date. And you both are working on, like, a science project together. And he's like, okay, let's work on a project, go to the lab, do everything we need to, and then we'll have the entire afternoon just for us. Mm-hmm. It'll be just fine. And guess what? Doesn't show up. No calls, no texts, no nothing. You don't even bother at this point to call or text. You do everything as well as you can. you know, science-wise, and, like, do the most of the project and record all your data and stuff. And then after that, you just leave. There's like, you worked on the, you did what you were supposed to for your grade. And you're just like,
No, that's fair.
I'm not going to wait around anymore. I'm tired of it. And again, he, at the end of the day, is like, this, and this happened. Like, I just wasn't able to, you know, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And you can only reply with being like, oh no, like, I worked on the project. Everything's there for you whenever you're ready to do, you know, your stuff.
Right. Because at that point, like, yes, it is like, several things have happened. I know who you are and what you have to do. And like,
mm-hmm.
you're the only thing protecting the city or whatever, but it's also just, like, at one point, do you, as a person who's dating a Superman, like, your feelings come first over the well-being of, like, a whole city? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And it is, like, that one point where you're just, like, for my well-being, and, like, for my well-being, basically, I can't do this. Like, I can't, because it's just, it's the same thing over and over and over again, and, like, even as a teenager, how many times can you actually do that?
Right. Well, there's a fifth. The fifth time, he, again, has apologized very frequently as of late, tries to keep mm-hmm. in contact with you when he can, talk to you, work on the project, that sort of thing. And there's, like, this new, like, chocolate place
okay.
that's opening up. And he's like, we'll go. I'll take you, mm-hmm. you know, like, expenses paid, like, we'll have a good time, da-da-da-da. And so, again, meet at this time. You show up, and this time only 30 minutes pass, and then you're like, I can't.
All right, she's learning. Our girl is learning.
I cannot do this anymore. Especially being in public and being like, the pity looks.
God, have you gotten stood up in public before?
No.
It is the most embarrassing thing possible.
The thing is like, I've taken myself out to eat before, and, like, seen movies by myself, mm-hmm. and, like, done things by myself.
The embarrassing and,
like,
part
mistakenly are like, oh, are you waiting for someone? It's like, oh no, I'm okay.
The embarrassing part is when you go, like, someone's showing up, like, someone will be here, and then, like, the waiter or the bartender or whatever just, like, Like, that's the, not, like, going alone. Like, right. That's one thing. It, the other thing of, like, oh, like, yeah, someone's gonna be here. Oh, I don't want to put in any food. They're gonna be here soon. And then you just sit there and you're like, I've made myself look like a fool. This is the worst moment of my entire life. And everything is bad. I just, at one point, you just have to, like, be like, hopefully you've just ordered water or something that costs no money.
Right.
So that, like, the waiter can just, like, be out of your line of sight and you can just, out of there, you know? It's, like, relatively unharmed as possible. Instead of just being, like, the waiter's being like, oh, you leaving? Yep, uh-huh, yeah, no, I'm leaving, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have never done that. Mm-hmm. I've never been through that before. It's not something that sounds...
It's not fun.
Yeah, I don't want to go through that, so nope. I just... save myself the trouble, and I don't go out to do things. So,
slay.
And then the one time, our plus one is now, it's been a couple of days since that, and Peter has called you countlessly to try and make up. Mm-hmm. You, for the first, like, 2 days, didn't pick up at all. You were just like, I'm so mad.
Slay.
I'm
absolutely
so fucking upset. And then, for one reason or another, you pick up and are just like, what? He's like, listen, I'm gonna make a dinner plan, dinner reservations, and no matter what happens, no matter what, I'm going to show up. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna show you a good time. It's gonna be about us, this dinner. And you're like, okay.
Skeptical,
and you don't have the heart to tell him no. Mm-hmm. So you agree. And then as the day starts to come around and get closer, you just have this feeling in your gut that he's just not going to show.
Sure.
So you're debating with yourself, like,
whether to show up.
Do I go? Like, it's a fancy restaurant. It's like reservations are made. Do I show up and be humiliated yet again? Or do I just stay home and be comfortable?
Yeah, because it's one thing being stood up in an empty classroom where no one can see you being stood up. But then there's
But then in public. So... finally, it starts getting closer and closer to, like, when you have to get ready and, like, be there. And you just don't go. You're just like, he's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not. So you, for the better of yourself, decide not to go. Peter is now sat in the restaurant completely by himself. He checks his watch every 15 minutes and is like, where? Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. And, of course, the waiter's like, oh... are you waiting for someone?
God, the
like,
yeah, worst
they'll be coming. And it gets to be, like, I think 45 minutes, an hour, where he's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna leave.
You hate to say it, but...
His perspective on it is more like, oh, something must have happened to them.
Oh.
Like, panic, like, they got hurt, that kind of thing. So, it's, like, a very scenic... movie scene-esque, like, it's pouring rain, he's wearing a suit, he's, like, running through the rain back to your house to, like, go check on you, and when he looks through the window, you're in your bed reading a book, all, like, curled up and just, like, completely ignorant to, like, the outside world, and he knocks on your window and he's like, hey, and you're like, oh my god,
you
actually are soaking wet and in a tux, what is going on right now? He's like, did you forget? And you're like, about dinner? And he's like, yeah. No. I just didn't think you would show.
To be fair,
no, they talk about it.
Yeah.
They do go through the whole thing of, like, why didn't you show up? Because you've bailed on me so much within the past. Like, and they do communicate at the end of it being like, hey, he swears that he's going to set designated days just to be Peter Parker and not to be Spider-Man. And that even, like, today he set the day aside to, like, get ready for this, and nothing majorly bad happened. So he's like, there can be goods and bads, and I'm allowed to live my life and be Peter Parker. And you were like, yes. Listen, your Aunt May deserves to have time with you. I deserve to have time with you as your girl, like, as your partner. So it's like, just learn. And he finally realized, like, how much it hurt.
To be stood up.
Yeah. And be the one that's ditched on, so... that's my little 5-in-1 for you.
Yeah.
Very cute. I liked it.
Very cute, but, like, so frustrating. Of, like, he... I know we didn't say, like, what Peter Parker it is. It feels almost like Peter B. Parker. Like, a little bit of, like, this feels like the kid that Peter B. Parker grows up to be. And, like, doesn't really get a handle on anything until obviously Across the Spider-Verse, where he like kind of figured it out and got a second chance. But yeah, it's just I love when fanfiction authors like ask those very minute but like detail-oriented questions of just like, well, how would dating a superhero actually be like? They'd probably stand you up a lot. And what would the, you know, emotions that come with that? And how would you feel? And yada yada, like what would be the result of that? And it's just like, it's so niche and it's so little, but I love them so much because it's just like, yeah, what? Give me that good content of what that actually would be like. Or like that little question of like, well, if he is like this, then this would happen. And you're like, your mind works in such mysterious ways, and I would love to know a little bit more about what you're thinking constantly.
Right.
So, okay. So when I was looking for a Spider-Man fan fiction, I wasn't looking for anything specific. I just knew I wanted to do something Spider-Verse.
Okay.
It was up and down. I had went through a lot of things. There's not a ton of Spider Across the Spider-Verse fan fiction on AO3. That's not like Miguel O'Hara centered. And I wanted to
the
do
girlies
like
girlies are putting in the work.
Yeah, they are. And I wanted to do something like a gen fic. There was no relationship. Like, I originally started looking up like Miles and Gwen and Hobie and Pavitar, I think it's his name. And, like, trying to find, like, a fun little group one. And, like, they were all, like, pieces of longer fics or whatever. So, and then I just gave in and looked up Spider-Verse fanfiction. Like, just across the whole Spider-Verse. And I found this one called Spider-Man Loves You.
Okay.
By Owl and a Miner. And I enjoyed it so much because one of my favorite aspects of both Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse is the child-parent relationships. It's one of my favorite thing about the movies. The relationships between Miles and his parents, and even Gwen and her dad, were just like, we've talked about it, where it's just like those pieces seemed so grounded in terms of a superhero multi-dimensional movie that is just so wide scale. And then there are these moments that are so grounded, like a teenage boy's relationship with his parents or a teenage girl's relationship with her father. And when I came across it, I just knew I had to. I just had to read it. So it was published January 3rd, 2019. It's a single chapter, and it's 7,335 words. The rating is teen and up, and the relationship is Jefferson Davis and Miles Morales.
Okay.
So it's a father-son. And it has Jefferson Davis, Miles Morales, Rio Morales, and a couple others, some OCs in there. It's fairly popular. It was at the top when I was looking at Spider-Verse fanfictions. It had 44,000 hits, 7,038 kudos, 250 comments, and 1,692 bookmarks. And the two singular tags are secret identity and father-son relationship. So it starts when Miles Morales is fast asleep when his dad gets home. Rio explains that he showed up at the hospital after the earthquake that happens in Into the Spider-Verse, when, just some backstory for the movie if you've forgotten, when the collider is activated at Kingpin's gala, and, like, the whole town, like, goes into an earthquake, and everyone thinks it's an earthquake.
Right.
And he wanted to stay up waiting for his dad, but ends up falling asleep. And Jefferson sits on the other side of the couch, trying to wake Miles, but the boy doesn't stir, he just shifts slightly on the cushions. And Rio says he's out cold. He didn't tell me what he was doing during the quake, but he must have been close. I'm just glad you're both home safe. And Jefferson agrees as he stands and scoops Miles in his arms. He's heavy but light enough that Jefferson can still carry him to his room just like he did when Miles was little. And he lays Miles out on his bed, and when he turns to leave, he sees piles of clothes, notebooks, just shit all over the floor, as a teenager's room. And as a parent, he begins to, like, pick up Miles' room. He's just like, you gotta get your shit together. Like, starts cleaning his room up. And he goes into a stack of a couple comic books that are just laid out on the floor. But beneath one book is a thick red bracelet with a little antenna and three blue buttons arranged in a triangle. And he picks it up, and when he runs his fingers over it, he finds a sticky residue, like a glue, but stronger. And he just thinks, like, this can't be. And Jefferson runs back the past few days. His son won't talk to him. Reports of a kid dressed like Spider-Man, a new superhero. Thank you for your bravery tonight. I love you. And he's like, it could be. if his kid really is Spider-Man, he's going to be grounded till he graduates college.
Mm.
What do you think of the new Spider-Man? It's definitely not a question Miles expects to hear first thing in the morning, and he chokes on his breakfast. I mean, you know Spider-Man died, right? Yes, Spider-Man died, but there's a new guy taking his mantle. A kid, I think. Tiny, not older than 16, I bet. I feel real sorry for his parents. What do you know about him? Not much. I only talked to him for a couple of minutes. You talked to Spider-Man? Yeah, right after you called me, actually. Seems like a good kid. A little awkward, but it's probably just because he's new at it. Just because he's new. I hope he gets a lot more swing and practice in before the next big villain, though. And Miles gets a defensive face when Jefferson says this. It's one that usually means he's about to insist on something that he thinks that his dad is wrong on.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just shakes his head to clear the look off his face. And he just goes, that's cool that you met him, Dad.
Good cover up. Nice try.
A 15-year-old boy can only do so much. And he's like, you gotta keep your fucking cool, man. This is not like a hiding your graffiti vandalism anymore, you know? And there's someone who wants to speak with Jefferson when he gets into work. The sergeant introduces her as Lena Sanchez, and she's working on a story for the New York Post about the new Spider-Man. And Jefferson's surprised that she's there, especially since the incident the other day happened in another jurisdiction, but she heard a tip that he spoke to, in her words, Spider-Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson feels his heart rate spike as he takes the reporter to the briefing room, gets her coffee, sits her down, and she asks, how long have you been with the PDNY, Officer Davis? About 15 years. I started just before my son was born. 15 years, great. And in those 15 years, have you ever seen anything like what happened at Fisk Tower last week? I mean, this is New York. We get weird shit. But Fisk Tower, that was on another level. I don't even know how to describe what was happening down in that office. Now, the officers I talked to at the 84th precinct told me you also interacted with Spider-Man after you brought Tombstone out of the tower. Is that correct? Yes. I mean, just for a minute. I thanked him for what he did, saving the city, and he gave me a hug and thanked me for my bravery, although I really didn't do anything that special. Wait a second. He gave you a hug? Why? I don't know, but this new Spider-Man, he's younger than Peter Parker was. I don't know how old, but he's a kid going up against Fisk doing, I can't even imagine what to get to that point. He must have been pretty freaked out. Maybe I was just a friendly face he saw and he just reacted to it. A kid. This gives a story a new angle. Do you think his family knows? And Jefferson suddenly regrets every single word he said to her, every single life choice he's made to get to this moment. And he's like, I don't. And before he could finish that, he is saved by his sergeant, who pulls him from the interview to assist in a call. And ever since that day, he found that red bracelet in Miles' room. Jefferson has been noticing things and being told things that he would pass off as normal teenager behavior before. Miles sleeping until late afternoon, noticeably lying to him where he's doing things at night, the school calling him to tell him that he's been sneaking out. And it's with that last phone call that Jefferson has to physically tell himself to breathe, to calm down. Talk to him this weekend, the security officer at Miles' school tells him. You know your son better than I do. Find out what's going on and put an end to it. You don't have to tell me. I'll just be happy to see Miles succeed. And it's that sentence, you know your son better than I do, that sticks with Jefferson. Because all he can think is, but do I? And the house is quiet when Jefferson gets home. He pushes open Miles' door and he scans the room and lets out a breath of relief when he sees Miles just sleeping in the bed. He walks into the room and sits down on the edge of Miles' bed. And here in the twilight, Jefferson can't see if Miles has any new scratches, new bruises, new battle scars. He can only see the shape of his son's nose, the bounce in his hair, the curl of his finger. It's you, isn't it? Jefferson whispers. It has to be you. I don't know what to do with you, Miles. I can't let you go, but I can't make you stay and make you hate me. And if you're Spider-Man, if you took down Wilson Fisk, what power do I even have? Why are you still even here? Jefferson reaches out a hand, curls his fingers around Miles' fist. I want to support you. I want to be who you need me to be, but you've just got to keep coming home, Miles. Just keep coming home. Jefferson pulls the blankets back up, arranging it in a way that it's fully covering Miles. And he whispers a goodnight to his son and tiptoes out of the room. Jefferson sets up a meeting with Nick Fury himself. Not in a professional or official manner in any way, but a personal curiosity as to what Director Fury knows and thinks of the new Spider-Man. "Look at this city," Fury says. "All these lights, all these shadows, all these dark corners for monsters to hide. The new Spider-Man, like any other superhero, needs to walk the tightrope between light and the dark. He's flashier than some, swinging above buildings, flying with the birds, inviting the press, but his goals are the same. Protect the city, protect its people." And how is he doing so far? "He's reckless, definitely a show-off, and clearly just a kid. I'd put him at 17, 18. But he's creative, always coming at things from new angles, and he's embodied the hope of the city, bringing it back after Parker died in a way I thought was impossible. Is he safe? He leaps off of skyscrapers just to get around. I know, but I mean, can he handle himself out there, if he's just a kid, like you said?" And Fury looks at Jefferson, and it's this gaze, this cloaked intensity, that shakes Jefferson to his core more than anything ever has before. But Jefferson is older now. He has more weight to his footsteps, more to protect. Spider-Man is learning, faster than any new hero I've ever seen. He's not the strongest New York City has to offer yet, but he's working hard. He's on his way. Does that answer your question? One more thing. If, hypothetically, you were this Spider-Man's dad, would you give him a curfew? Fury smiles at him, a kind of smile that would be a normal person's head-thrown-back belly laugh. Do you think he'd follow it? Jefferson is making his usual run to the comic book store when he learns that the new Spider-Boy has his own run of comics. The store clerk gives him the new information as he is a loyal customer and shows him the goods, Ultimate Spider-Man. There, before his very eyes, and nothing he ever thought he'd see, is a comic book with his own son grinning up from the cover. He almost doesn't want to open it to get his sweaty little fingers on the fresh pages, but he has to open it. And it's all here. All Miles. It's Miles behind the mask, Miles going to throw up some art in a restricted area, Miles stumbling on a spider, Miles meeting Peter Parker and being entrusted with a key, Miles learning to swing, Miles going after Fisk. This is a kid from Brooklyn, moving too fast for his own skin, painting the world in colors so bright. Miles doesn't just swing between the buildings, he rises, lighter than the wind, the sirens, the sunlight reflecting from a million open windows. Jefferson takes a deep breath, tries to keep his voice level as he says, "I'll take two." And this is Jefferson's Christmas present to Miles, with an inscription on the last page. "I love you. I'm proud of you. Don't tell your mom." Miles goes to his dad after reading the comic book, more specifically, after reading the words his dad left for him in the back. The expression on his face is incredible. Part anger, part terror, all manic teenager energy. Jefferson smiles and beckons his son in closer. "Miles, I meant what I wrote," Jefferson says. "I don't want to know more. The more I know, the closer I get to grounding you until you're out of college. But I also know that this city needs Spider-Man. I don't always approve of his methods, but I admire him. I'm proud of him. I love him. And I'll support him from the ground as well as I can." And Miles looks at his dad another moment, eyes getting wide as stars, and then drops the comic and crushes Jefferson in a hug. "Just remember, with great ability comes great accountability." Miles starts shaking again, and it takes Jefferson a few terrified seconds to realize he's laughing. "Thanks, Dad," Miles says. "I love you." Jefferson spends a few more moments with his son before getting ready for bed, but he stops when he enters his bedroom and notices Rio reading the comic book. She notices him, puts the book down, and gives him a smile that tells Jefferson he's cooked. "You gave him this? Were you trying to give our son a heart attack? How did you know? He keeps trying to wash that suit in the kitchen sink when he thinks I've gone to bed, and he's taken all of my baby powder. I'm surprised you didn't realize it sooner." I suspected, but I didn't. "Do you mean that you're okay with it? That our son is New York's newest superhero? It's not what I had in mind when I told him to try more extracurriculars, but I trust him, and he seems happy doing it, like he finally knows what he wants to do with himself. And besides, I know you'll be there for him, watching out for him. Jefferson is at work when one of his colleagues sends him an article. The article is short, summarizing that someone put a sticker on top of the Chrysler building. Right on one of those lion gargoyles. It must have been up there for weeks, but an ABC News copter just noticed it yesterday on the side of some aerial shot. And there's a photo. A simple yellow "My name is" sticker with a single word printed in bold red letters. The photo is blurry, but the word clearly reads Spider-Man. Jefferson would recognize that lettering anywhere. He texts Miles a link to the article. "I'm not going to make you take it down, but at least send me a better picture." Miles responds an hour later with a photo, his face grinning, mask half pulled up, upside down next to the sticker with an afternoon sky glittering behind him, bright and warm as the first day of spring. Jefferson can't stop smiling for the rest of his shift. And that is Spider-Man Loves You.
Yippee!
By Owl and a Miner.
Whoa.
It is my favorite aspect, I think, of the Spider-Verse movies,
mm-hmm.
is the parental relationships.
Right.
We have, I think, by far my next favorite, which is Tom Holland's and Aunt May's.
Yeah.
Tom Holland and Marissa Tomei have that, like, they just have that chemistry of, like, she is so worried, especially since I do like that she learns so soon in the first movie, at the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
And she's, like, with him all through the second and the third about, like, you gotta be safe, please. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I'm worrying so much. That I don't think that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man's really got because of the tragedies that unfolded in their lives.
Right, because even in, like, the actual Into the Spider-Verse movie,
yeah,
it's like Aunt May, or she knew.
She knew.
For Peter Parker, like the original Chris mm-hmm. Pine Peter Parker. It's like she knew. She had the shack
absolutely.
Ready, and she was like, yeah, I'm here.
I've known
for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I've been helping him out.
Absolutely.
So I think it's one of the cooler things, especially since coming from Maguire and Garfield,
mm-hmm.
which was like, no.
Yeah.
Only my girlfriend gets to know.
Yes.
Which is like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And the introduction of the Holland series. I mean, they did Holland Spider-Man very different. They're like, we're ditching the intro.
Yeah.
We're just going full into him being Spider-Man.
Right.
And the Vulture and all that, and it was a nice change of pace. And then even going into the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. where it's like some more people know than you think,
yeah.
and then in across the Spider-Verse, it's like God,
yeah.
it's all just spider people, and like they all just know each other's stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
And it is one of those things of like I know spoilers, I guess, for across the Spider-Verse of the canon events being like. Someone, a police chief very close to you dies, which happens to be, like, Miles's father. But it's just, like, Miles wouldn't be Miles without his dad. Like, he would be a completely different person, right? As we see at the end of Spider-Verse
mm-hmm.
in Earth 42. That, like, that is what makes him that. And I'm so glad that they put so much time and care into his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really like that it is Jefferson and Miles in this fic, because I feel like we got a lot of Rio and like her motherly instincts
because I feel like the next movie
absolutely
is
because
going
it's
to
his
be,
life on the line
right now it's gonna be Jefferson and him
because
the first movie was Uncle Aaron and he went through the uncle mm-hmm. death, which is like okay
happens
we'll just keep powering through I guess. And yeah, the relationship with him and Rio was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the first one, it was like, you got a lot of it.
Yeah.
More so him and his dad than him and Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, they're like, bump the mom.
Yes, which she should. She's incredible. I love the twist at the end of this fic of, like, she's known the whole time. What are you talking about?
Of course. Yeah.
Like, she's like, I can't believe it took you this long. Like, kid keeps trying to wash the suit in the kitchen sink. Like, you think I wouldn't notice?
He doesn't
notice?
Know how to do his own laundry yet. Like, what are we doing?
Do you think he wouldn't notice that I've suddenly run out of baby powder for the third time this week? Like,
weird.
What do you think he's using it for? Like, but they are some of my favorites. And I hope to see more, like, Gwen and her dad fan fiction from this newest movie. And I hope to see, like, more, I think it's just like, yeah, the Spider-Man's before it, I didn't realize I was missing it until I had it. And it was just like, damn, yeah, why did only Mary Jane get to know? Like, that is so fucked up. Like, because, like, maybe it was the society that we lived in the early 2000s that put such a emphasis on romantic relationships over, like, any other relationships. Mm-hmm. Because even his best fucking friend didn't know. And at one point, you understand of, like, oh, I killed your dad. Maybe you don't want to know because I killed your dad. And you're like, okay, I get it. But, like, before then, like, in Tom Holland's case, Ned was the first one to know.
Right.
His best friend was the... MJ was the last one to know. And I love that switch up in those movies. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just my favorite. And I'm really glad that I... There's a ton of really good Spider-Verse fanfiction. Specifically some who, like, I found some that are like, all right, this is when they go dimension hopping and end up in the Tom Holland Spider-Man. And then they fuck around with Tom Holland Spider-Man and they do this because it's like... He's still, like, they're all teenagers, but Tom Holland, in my mind, is the closest to a teenager than the rest of them.
Right.
But the fanfiction's great. I hope to get more fanfiction.
It's probably happening.
It's probably happening, and I love to see it. I'm so glad you you Miguel O'Hara people are having the time of your life.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are.
You're, like, from personal experience.
They are going to town.
Yeah. Have you found a favorite one yet?
No.
No?
I've just been, you know, just perusing.
Yeah.
A little bit.
A nightly peruse.
Yeah. It's been good. Yeah. I like it so far.
I'm so glad. I'm so happy for you.
And of course, you know me. I like the hurdy stuff.
You fucking, I don't understand you, but you love, and you know what? Miguel O'Hara is a great conduit for that.
I know. Oh, I'm aware. I know, girl. You ain't gotta tell me.
That man's gonna hate fuck you until another dimension. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.